Hello world, my name is Don and you're watching Showcase for the week ending Sunday, September 18th, 2022. Stop the presses, this is our Sunday show and that means weird headlines and your live chat comments. Thanks so much for joining me tonight. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscription bell. And as always, if you're with us live, drop us a line in the live chat and we just might read it off on the air. Before we begin, I do have one quick piece of housekeeping that we do need to get addressed here, basically. We got a special note that was sent to us via Linktree, the special little contact form on the Linktree page that's scrolling on the bottom of your screen right now. We got a message from someone who called themselves literally a chicken, lowercase a, and then like chicken is spelled C-H-I-K-E-N. I won't read off the person's email address on here, but actually from Brazil. So we're getting some more international audience now. So yeah, that's awesome. Thanks so much for tuning in and sending us this note. But I do have a thing to address here, and that is that the recommendation that was attached to this message was that we add this specific YouTube video to our trailer reactions playlist. And I forgot to mention this on Friday. We screened this, and we can't include that in the list, unfortunately. And the rationale is twofold. Number one, we have to do content that is current. That video was from, like, 7 years ago. And then the second reason basically boils down to it's... How do I put this, basically? It's not political. It's not, like, hyper-violent or anything. But basically, it's... That was the biggest reason, basically, is it was a seven-year-old thing. There was one other reason actually, that I had observed. It doesn't come to my mind right now, but that's the biggest thing. Just so that you know, those of you who are recommending topics for us know that we only really, we're trying to focus our stuff towards within the last 7 days, like trailers or news topics that have been published within the last 7 days, 14 at the absolute, absolute maximum, but we're really trying to focus it within the last week. So, I really appreciate the feedback, but, please bear that in mind, when you're forwarding along stuff for us to react to on the show. Thanks so much for watching. So let's go ahead and move on to the first item on the docket, which will require me to go ahead and set the screen up accordingly here. There we go. Oh, geez, look at this. I forgot to put the background up. There we go. That's much better. Alrighty. So now that that bit of housekeeping is done, let's go ahead and get started. First item on the docket is from UPI. Teen breaks his own record with 4-inch mouth gape. This was published on September 7. This is right on the edge, basically. Good grief. It's already the 18th. This is like, yeah, it's well over a week. But has elapsed since this was published. But a Minnesota teenager broke his own Guinness World Record when his mouth gape was measured at 4.014 inches. Isaac Johnson originally set the record at age 14 in 2019 when his mouth gape was measured at 3.67 inches. And there is the photographic evidence of this. So I suppose that is one way to make sure you're getting your daily recommended dosage of vitamin. Shoot, hang on. We have a little bit of lag happening here. There we go. Not sure if y'all are still able to see this. Oh, dear. Oh, okay. There it is. I don't know what happened there. I hope y'all could have heard that. But anyway, I was just saying, like, that's one way to make sure that you get your daily recommended dosage of vitamin C. But in any event, yeah, okay. It looks like we're up and running again right now. That was strange. Sorry about that. All right, so let's see. Johnson's record was broken later the same year when Philip Angus of Pennsylvania opened his mouth 3.75 inches. Johnson reclaimed the record in 2020 when his gape was measured at 4 inches, and he broke his own record this year on the set of Lo Show del Record in Milan, Italy, where adjudicators measured his gape at 4.014 inches. That's interesting. They actually have a terminology for that. They can't just say that, you know, the size of his mouth. Like, they have to actually have a one-shot, one-syllable piece of terminology to imply what this is that we're talking about. That feels like, in and of itself, weird news. But anyway, here's the... Wow! Okay, that's a whole Pringles can. Wow. Yeah. Well, I've mentioned before on this show that, unfortunately, we are going to get hit pretty hard with YouTube content ID violations and a bunch of other things if we actually play YouTube videos from the Guinness World Records account on here. So unfortunately we can't play this video, but know that there is video evidence of this feat as well as photographic, and that is all on the page that we have linked to for this story, which is in the description attached to this video stream. Those of you who are watching us on YouTube or Facebook, you can check out that check this story out for more information there. Brain Spaz hitting us up on a comment. Wow, that's making my head hurt. Yeah, mine too, honestly. I can't even wrap my mind around what the practical applications of this really kind of like would be, you know, because that's like, and never mind. Let's not even think about this anymore. Sorry. Let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. The next item on the docket here comes to us from Huffington Post. Oh man. Science's weirdest discoveries celebrated at, is that IG or IG? I guess this is IG, the IG Nobel Awards. Let's see, this is from Associated Press. Are you kidding me? The sex lives of constipated scorpions. How do they know all of this? Cute ducklings with an innate sense of physics and a life-size rubber moose may not appear to have much in common, but they all inspired the winners of this year's IG Nobels, the prize for comical scientific achievement. Wow, apparently there's an award for this. Held less than a month before the actual Nobel Prizes are announced. Ooh, that hurts. Thursday's 32nd annual IG Nobel Prize ceremony was, for the third year in a row, a pre-recorded affair webcast on the Annals of Improbable Research magazine's website. This whole thing feels like a deleted chapter from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if I'm being honest. This is... really? Annals of Improbable Research. Apparently that's a thing. All right. The winners, honored in 10 categories, also included scientists who found that when people on a blind date are attracted to each other, their heart rates synchronize. I could buy that. And researchers who looked at why legal documents can be so utterly baffling, even to lawyers themselves. Well, I mean, I've seen complicated stuff before. Like, I remember when I used to spend a lot of time in California, the parking regulations that would be in place for street parking, for parallel parking on the street, because you had to look through these really complicated and intricate signs that were posted nearby, always talking about like you can only park here between these specific hours and only if you have this particular permit, and only if you're a but all of these rules are exempt if you're a resident and if your name ends with the letter Y or something, like, I don't know, something really, I'm just kidding around that last one, but it was really intricate and really sort of overlapping and headache inducing, and that's what this reminds me of right here. It's a significantly different context, sure, but this is harsh. I wonder if there's some more specific ones that can be found here. Let me see. I keep hoping to see, let's see, I guess they kind of list them one at a time here. Let's see. Science is fun, quote, science is fun. My sort of tagline is, if you're not doing science, My sort of tagline is, you're not doing science if you're not having fun, end quote, said Frank Fish, a biology professor at Westchester University in Pennsylvania, who shared the physics IG Nobel for studying why ducklings follow their mothers in single-file formation. Wow. Eliska Prochaskova's personal experiences inspired her research on dating that earned her and colleagues the cardiology IG Nobel. Oh yeah, that's the thing about the synchronizing heartbeats. Interesting. I feel like doing some further research into that one, to be honest. University of Sao Paulo in Brazil. Solimari Garcia Hernandez and Glauco Machado won the biology IG Nobel for studying whether constipation ruins a scorpion's sex life. Why is that a thing, though? Hang on. Scorpions can detach a body part to escape a predator, a process called autotomy. Oh, sorry, autotomy. Wow, sorry, I misread that word completely. But when they lose their tails to autotomy, they also lose the last portion of the digestive tract, which leads to constipation and eventually death. Wow. They wrote in the journal Integrated Zoology, quote, the long-term decrease in the locomotor performance of autotomized males may impair mate searching, end quote. Interesting. That actually reminds me of what happens with bees. With bees, when they sting someone to like or something to defend the hive, defend the queen, right? After they sting someone, they lose their stinger, and then they die not long after that. They basically give their lives in the process of defending the hive and the queen. And I've never heard of other species of insect that are prone to such acts of martyrdom, I guess is the best way to describe that. But I can't say I'm surprised. If bees are capable of doing that, it stands to reason that maybe, you know, at least one other sort of like similar species in the insect family might be capable of doing that. At least to me, that's how it comes across to me. Anyway, so there's a lot more in this topic, but we should move on in the interest of time. Feel free to drop us a line in the... Oh, hello. Jason JJ says, LOL. Yeah, this is a bit much, but I was about to say, there's a lot more in this topic. We do have to move on, but feel free to check the link in the description down below for more information about this and all of the other topics that we have tonight. There's a lot more in here, but we got to move on. Next item on the docket comes to us from UPI. Missing cat returns home and rings doorbell in New York. Okay, this was published 2 days ago. And there is a YouTube video attached. I guess we can try and take a look at this. Let's take a look. Okay. So it looks like I couldn't tell if it was the paw hitting the actual doorbell button at the right angle or if the motion detector set it off.
You were recording of that?
Wait a minute, let me look at that again. Hang on. Yes, the motion detector. It was the motion detector. It was already recording before the cat jumped up. Wow, hopefully they were able to put out a saucer of milk or something after that. Too bad this is just a stationary angle. We can't sort of like angle down to get a more accurate picture of at the very least what breed of cat, what type of cat this is, but I don't know. Anyway, never mind. Jason JJ on Facebook says, crying laughing emoji 4 times. Ms. D says, that was so cute. Hey, Ms. D, good to see you again. Yeah, this is one of those things that is just a shining example of the little sort of gems of life that can sort of happen at random, depending on how your technology is set up. So there you go. Hopefully they found a good home for that cat. Let's see. The New York family security camera was recording when their cat missing for 4 days, returned home and rang the doorbell to be let inside. Wow. Okay, that's interesting context. Why? Shame they couldn't put that in the video, but all right. Stephanie Whitley said her family's 8-year-old cat, Lily, failed to come home one night after about 2 weeks after the family moved into a new house in Mastic Beach, Long Island. Whitley's fears were put to rest 4 days later when her Ring doorbell camera recorded Lily walking up to the front porch and ringing the bell. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. This title of this video was a little bit misleading. I thought it was just a general sort of like missing pet, but I didn't know it was like their missing pet. But that worked out. That's amazing. Wow. All right, let's move on to the next item. Thanks so much for watching Weird News, by the way. Those of you who are tuning in with us live on YouTube. Desert Kingdom says, too cute. Yeah. Anyway, we're streaming Weird News right here on Weekend Showcase, live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch. Thanks so much for smashing that like button, and please subscribe and follow as wherever you can. As much as you can to try to support the channel as we try and grow and expand this thing. We really appreciate you being here with us. And don't forget to send us suggestions if you have some weird news topics or movie trailers, because we do those on Fridays as well, that you want us to do. Please keep it within the last 7 days, and we don't do politics or religion. Please post your topic suggestions at the Contact Us section of the Linktree page. The link is scrolling at the bottom of the screen right now, and we might... You might find your recommendation in our rotation next week, along with a special shout out from us. So there you go. Next item on the docket, moving on, is, like I was saying, from UPI. Here we are. Google mistakenly deposits $250,000 into security expert's account. Okay. I believe that's what Monopoly players would call a bank error in your favor, basically. I think that's a safe assumption there. A Google spokesperson said a nearly $250,000 payment placed in the account of a confused cybersecurity professional was the, quote, result of human error, end quote. Sam Curry, a staff security engineer at Yuga Labs and a self-described hacker, said on Twitter that Google sent $249,999 into his bank account without explanation, and he was unable to get a response from the company after 3 weeks of contact attempts. Curry said he sometimes conducts bug hunting projects for tech companies like Google, but he couldn't find any link between any recent projects and the mysterious payment. A Google spokesperson confirmed the payment was an error and said the company is now taking steps to correct it. The representative told National Public Radio, quote, "Our team recently made a payment to the wrong party as the result of human error. We appreciate that it was quickly communicated to us by the impacted partner, and we are working to correct it," end quote. And the cybersecurity specialist told MarketWatch, quote, "Google did indeed contact me, and I'm going to head into the bank today to pay it back," end quote. Okay, well, that's one resolution. A slightly happier resolution would be something along the lines of maybe he did something for Google a while back and somebody forgot to do the bookmaking properly on their end, and they're sort of like paying that back to the cybersecurity specialist, and he didn't see that coming, basically. BrainSpaz commenting on YouTube, "I would have passed right out seeing that in my account." Yeah, I can't say that you would be alone in that. I probably would pass out too. That's a crazy amount of bank error in your favor like that. But anyway, I mean, what do you guys think at home? The rest of you who are watching along with us right now on YouTube or Facebook or wherever else you're getting this stream, how would you react to this level of, goodness, $250,000 showing up in your bank account overnight and seemingly without reason, without rhyme or reason to it? That's crazy. But anyway, let's go on. Next item on the docket. This is, again, from UPI, first published 4 days ago. Toy Hall of Fame finalists include Briar Horses and Masters of the Universe. I don't know what a Briar Horse is. Those of you who are watching along with us right now, if you're on the higher end of the age demographic, what is a Briar Horse? I feel like doing some Googling for that, but I don't want to like sort of interrupt the momentum of this thing too much for that. Hopefully one of y'all can do that for us, please. Like, post some information about that in the comments feed. But yeah, there's your picture of that. The context on the bottom of this picture says, "The Strong National Museum of Play in Rochester, New York announced the finalists for 2022 induction into the National Toy Hall of Fame, which include Catan, Masters of the Universe, Briar Horses, Spirograph, I remember that, Nerf Toys, Phase 10, not Uno? Uno had better be in there if they put Phase 10 in there, Bingo, and the Pinata." Okay. The Strong, located in Rochester, New York, said three of the 12 finalists will be inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame. The 12 finalists for the, National Toy Hall of Fame, excuse me. The inductees will be chosen by the National Selection Advisory Committee, with online players' choice voters counting collectively as one member of the committee. Well, that's one way to handle the democratic process, for lack of a better way to put it. Let's see. Catan, the board game originally known as Settlers of Catan when it was published in Germany in 1995. Okay, that explains that. Phase 10, a rummy-style card game that first appeared in 1992, and it's the second best-selling card game in the world, I guess next to Uno, if you don't count the actual, like, traditional playing cards, you know, spades, clubs, diamonds, and hearts. And Racco, never heard of Racco before, a pattern-building card game first introduced by Milton Bradley in 1956. Okay. From the creators of Monopoly. All right. Let's see. The Spinning Top. The Spinning Top is on the list of finalists, too? Huh. For some reason, I feel like rewatching Inception again right now. But all right, cool. Hey, what's those of you who are watching along? What are your favorite toys from yesteryear that you have fond memories for? BrainSpaz showing us a comment here on YouTube. Briar Horses, the most beautiful horse models in the world. Find the perfect gift for your horse-loving girl or boy, woman or man, for all ages. Is that how Google describes that? What decade is that from? I don't know what that. Is this, that can't be current. That's gotta be, that sounds like something, that sounds like a product description that would be found in like maybe the 60s, maybe like the 60s, maybe 70s. I'm not sure. But anyway, all right. Thank you for the information, BrainSpaz. That kind of raises slightly more questions than answers, but anyway. Control, can we take that comment down, please? We gotta move on. Thank you. All right. Let's keep going with the next topic here. This is, again, odd news from UPI. Wolf reported on the loose near Oklahoma daycare was a cuddly puppy. Somebody mistook a puppy for a wolf. Okay. Police in Oklahoma said they responded to reports of a wolf wandering around a daycare and ended up reuniting the cuddly, in quotations, wolf-dog hybrid with its owner. Okay. The Oklahoma City Police Department said on Twitter that officers responded to a report of a wolf near a daycare, and they arrived to find the canine was a cuddly puppy. Officers learned the animal, which is 85% wolf and 15% Alaskan Malamute, had been reported missing to a nearby police department. The cordial canine was reunited with its owner, police wrote. Okay, so it looks like Balto has a happy ending. That's good. That actually looks a little bit like Balto, if I'm being brutally honest. The eyes are obviously way different, but like the overall sort of, I guess, the overall physical appearance, the fur color, right? Or maybe just the lighting in this particular photograph. This actually reminds me of Balto really, really, really closely, to be brutally honest. But anyway, so that's pretty much it for that particular topic. We got to move on to the next thing here. Thanks so much for watching Weird News. Those of you who are joining us live right here on Weekend Showcase, streaming on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter. And thanks so much for following and subscribing and smashing that like button and notification bell. Don't forget to visit our Linktree page, which is scrolling at the bottom of the screen right now. If you have any suggestions for Weird News items that we should talk about on Sunday shows, or if you have movie trailers to suggest that we can discuss and show and do all sorts of stuff about on our Friday show, that's how you do it. Just visit the Linktree page down below, and the Contact Us form is right there for you. So there you go. Let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. We're about halfway through, maybe about a half dozen left to go on the show tonight. Next item also comes to us from UPI, and then after this, I think this is our last UPI story for the night, and then it goes to a bunch of other sources. This thing was published 6 days ago. Philadelphia woman catches raccoon lounging in her hammock. You gotta be kidding me. A Philadelphia woman captured video when she looked out a window and was confronted with an unexpected sight, a raccoon lounging in her hammock. Sarah McAnulty said in a Twitter post she was at her home in the Fishtown section of Philadelphia when she spotted a raccoon using the hammock outside. Well, there is a video attached to this piece. Let's take a look. It doesn't seem to... Oh, there it is. Hang on. I guess I had to manually turn on the audio for this video separately. Here we go.
Well, we could all use a night like this. A raccoon seemed quite cozy, lounging in a hammock in Fishtown.
Not bothered by the light on him at all. Sarah McAnulty heard rustling on her porch.
Oh, shoot. Come on.
In Fishtown.
Not bothered by the light on him at all. Sarah McAnulty heard rustling on her porch when she was working inside her house. So she peeked outside. She saw the raccoon just chilling there. She took to Twitter writing, "Excuse me, who taught the raccoon on my back porch how to use a hammock?"
I guess it's sort of like a how-to thing,
yeah,
right? McAnulty says the animal spent the night there. He wasn't bothered, so why blame him?
I love it.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and file this along with the, like, this reminds me of that famous meme clip of, what was it? The squirrel that's water skiing. You ever see that famous clip of the water skiing squirrel? Or there's another one that was made into a really famous meme in like the late 2000s, the thing called Dramatic Chipmunk, you know, where the chipmunk is sort of like looking away and then sort of like quickly like does its dramatic turn to camera, and then the camera sort of like zooms in really closely on the chipmunk to like dramatic music. That was a big thing around the early days of Facebook when like meme culture was sort of like finding its footing roughly. Like, I'm going to go ahead and like chalk this up to that level of content basically, where it's just so random. I can see this sort of taking on its own sort of momentum. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. That's just my immediate reaction to this. But anyway, as long as nobody had to wind up getting a rabies shot after that. Ms. D says, feel good animal stories tonight. Yeah, so far so good. For the most part, happy endings so far. We have five more to go. Thanks for the comment, Ms. D. Let's go ahead and move on to this topic from USA Today. We have another copy-paste error. Uh-oh. Here we go. This is in the realm of real estate. First published 11 days ago. sorry, like 9 days ago, 19th. Yeah, tomorrow would be the 19th. So yeah, it would be 10 days. So yeah. Oh boy, 9 days ago. It's my first time counting. Sorry, I haven't had my coffee. Long day. Copy-paste error results in Nevada home buyer getting 87 properties for the price of one home. Yeah, this would have made me spit out my coffee if that had happened to me. This is crazy. A Nevada homebuyer literally got more than she bargained for after ending up with an entire swath of lots in a subdivision in the west central part of the state while buying a single family home. The buyer was originally purchasing a single family home in Sparks, Nevada, valued at $594,481. However, the Washoe County, Nevada Assessor and Washoe County Recorder's Office, is that Washoe or Washoe? I'm not sure. Probably Washoe. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. They had records showing the buyer gained not just the property she was buying, but also 84 extra house lots and two additional parcels in Toll Brothers Stonebrook development just northeast of Reno. The properties include several home sites that have already been built on and sold. At least 64 of the lots were put under the buyer's name as of Saturday. Wow. The transaction was flagged by the assessor's office, which said it quickly notified the title company involved about the issue. The culprit? Apparently all it takes is four keystrokes to accidentally give someone the title to properties worth millions of dollars. Wow. Corey Burke, chief deputy assessor for Washoe County, when reached on Monday, said, quote, it appears Westminster Title out of Las Vegas may have copied and pasted a legal description from another Toll Brothers transfer when preparing the homebuyer's deed for recordation, end quote. Yeah, this is one of those things that really sort of underscores the importance of making sure you know what you're doing in the realm of, you know, data entry, basically. I was about to say cybersecurity, but this isn't really cybersec so much as just data entry and making sure that the right information is put in correctly the first time and not really sort of as much about safeguarding it from bad actors or malware or, you know, stuff like that. This is one of those things that it's a problem that should have solved itself in the beginning, but it does make for an interesting headline since what's happened happened. And we now have it in our rotation for this particular lineup of weird news topics here, but that is really bizarre. Almost as bizarre as the... Actually, no, I would say this is more bizarre than the $250,000 thing, because these are... This mistake is obviously worth way more money. So, I guess, good grief. I mean, what would you at home, those of you who are watching along with us live right now, shoot us a message in the comment feed, if you like. Like, what would you do with... What was it? 80-something different plots of land? Hang on a second. 87 properties for the price of one home. Hey, what would you do with basically the land rights to an entire town? what would you do with that much land rights if that had been legitimate, of course, and not just a gross computer error, data entry error? Shoot us a chat comment if you like. And thanks so much for watching and liking and subscribing. Moving on. We have four more topics to go here. This next item comes to us from the Mirror, which I guess is going to take a moment to load. Here we go. All right. Bizarre-looking shark found 2,000 feet under the sea called Stuff of Nightmares. A shark caught from more than 2,100 feet under the sea by a fisherman has left social media users shocked by its disturbing appearance. This story was published on the Mirror 2 days ago. Trapman Bermagui? Not sure how to pronounce that name, I apologize. Bermagui is how that's spelled. Posted a photo on his Facebook page of a bizarre black and blue-eyed sea creature with a set of protruding razor-white teeth that appeared to be set in an eerie half-grin. Goodness, that description alone is pretty much nightmare fuel. The pointy-nosed shark was caught in the deep sea off the coast of Australia by the commercial fisherman before being posted online on September 12th. The caption read, quote, the face of a deep-sea rough-skinned shark all the way from 650 meters, end quote. Since then, the post has been liked 1,500 times and gathered more than 280 comments from people wondering exactly what it is. Many users replied that it appeared to be a cookie-cutter shark, also known as a cigar shark, that is unique for the cookie-shaped wounds it leaves when biting. Well, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the ocean, apparently this is the kind of cookie that bites you. Or that cuts you, I guess, would have been a slightly more witty choice of words on my part. This is the, whoa, that's creepy. Yeah, wow. Okay. That's the cookie cutter shark for you right there, AKA the cigar shark, according to this particular story. I can't imagine what kind of evolutionary process could have spawned a mouth or eyes like that. This looks like a bad Photoshop experiment, quite frankly, that took on a life of its own in the realm of social media to the point where grown adults get sort of traumatized by it. This is crazy. Here we go. The story continues. Others suggested it could be a goblin shark, or even that it was man-made, either by a sculptor or a mixing of DNA. Man-made, but it's a living thing. Brain Spaz is like, Brain Spaz on YouTube with the, I guess, stunned face emoji. One person described the bizarre fish as the, quote, stuff of nightmares, end quote, while another said it gave them the, quote, major creeps, and I can't stand to look at it, but every time I look away, I see it in my head. I can't believe a shark looks like that, end quote. Okay, despite the online debate about its identity, Trapman was quick to stamp his own fishing authority on the various claims. He told Newsweek, quote, totally not a cookie cutter. It's a rough skin shark, also known as a species of Endeavor dog shark. Okay, well, there you go. There's the correct information there. These sharks are common in depths greater than 600 meters. We catch them in the wintertime usually, end quote. Okay. Dean Grubbs, Associate Director of Research at the Florida State University Coastal and Marine Laboratory, also told Newsweek, quote, in my deep sea research, we have caught quite a few of them in the Gulf of Mexico and in the Bahamas. Ours have come from depths of 740 meters to 1,160 meters, around 2,400 to 3,800 feet, so a bit deeper than this report, end quote. Yeah, this looks like something that you'd probably find in, like, either, like, one of two places, either the bottom of the Marianas Trench or in a deleted scene from Aquaman. That is one of those, it can only be in one of those two things. Brain Spaz says, that thing is ugly. Yeah, motion seconded, motion carried is the response to that. Thanks so much for the comment and user engagement there, Brain Spaz. Let's go ahead and move on to the next items on our lineup, which we have three more topics before we go ahead and shut this weird news show down for the night. Next item comes to us from Newsweek. It was first published 3 days ago. Incredibly rare blue lobster caught by a Maine fisherman, 1 in 2 million. There's a video attached that is already playing. Let's, I guess, go ahead and cue this up with proper sound. There we go. All right, let's take a look.
Check out what we just caught in this trap. We just got a blue lobster. I looked it up. It's 1 in 2 million of how rare these are. And that is probably one of the prettiest blues and whites I've ever seen. I've only caught two of these my whole life, and this is the second one. Just a comparison. That's what a regular lobster looks like next to it. I mean, look how pretty blue that is. That is crazy. That is definitely one of the most blue lobsters I've ever seen. You always see one once in a while, a little hint of blue, but that is full-blown, all-over blue. And they're very pretty blue at that. White underneath the claws. I wonder what this looks like cooked. But as you can see, it's a female, and another fisherman has already caught her, probably a couple fishermen, and now it's there. So I'm going to release her.
I'm going to go ahead and pause this here because we do need to move on. But I'll be honest, there is a part of me that my inner comedian is sort of looking at this like what's his name? Shoot. The Batista character from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I was about to say something wrong, but Drax basically was his name. And like how he sort of stood really still to sort of be invisible, right? And it's like that shade of lobster blends so perfectly with this guy's overalls. It's like, if he hadn't been moving it around, the untrained eye would have been like, where's the lobster? Because that's the precise, look again. That lobster is the exact shade of green, the exact shade of blue that matches his overalls, his like fishing gear. That's crazy. That's crazy to me that this is possible in nature, apparently. Desert Kingdom says, can lobsters be cute? Well, I don't know, Desert Kingdom, but they can be extremely greedy when they're trying to sell Krabby Patties. That much I know. Ms. D says, amazing. Should be free in the ocean or a pet. Definitely not food. Yeah, definitely. Especially with the statistical anomaly that those blue lobsters can be. 1 in 2 million on average? is the population of lobsters that carry the, it's apparently one mother of a recessive gene that's capable of producing a shell color like that. But there you go. I guess that's just, I guess, how nature pumped this particular lobster out. Let's see. I'm inclined to see what happened after the fact. Let me see here. Where is this thing? I'm trying to find the end of this that says what he did with it. Let's see. No. These are user comments, user reactions from people. American lobsters can grow to be 100 years old, according to NOAA Fisheries. What is it? National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, I think is what that stands for, NOAA. The record weight is 45 pounds. Let's see. Oh, well, this is interesting. Okay, so what causes the different colors is a thing called astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, I think it's A-S-T-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N. Astaxanthin. All right, so Dr. Michael Tlusty from the New England Aquarium says, quote, when the lobsters eat astaxanthin, okay, the red pigment goes into the skin, and that's where it shows up as being red. Then the pigment gets moved up into the shell, and when it stores in the shell, proteins grab the pigments and twist it around, and it actually turns to a blue color, and then later on they get twisted again, and they turn yellow. That's a very confusing explanation. Let's see. Oh, sorry, the quote continues. So when we look at lobsters in any crustacean, you actually look through a layer of yellow pigment, through a layer of blue pigment, down to the skin, which is red, and it's all the stacking up of the different colors that lets us see lobsters as this kind of muddy brown color, end quote. Okay, so that explains the default color of lobsters, I guess. So, layer through, but okay, so it's yellow, then blue, then red. I think is how that would sort of stack up, and it's that combination that gives us the brown color. But I guess at a certain point, sort of the protein processing process, for lack of a better way to put it, I guess it sort of falls asleep at the wheel at the blue stage, and it's just a 1 in 2 million sort of chance that it actually happens, and the lobster sort of makes it all the way into maturation, full maturation, beyond the point where the pigmentation changing process is able to continue happening. So it just winds up getting stuck as whatever that last color was. If it happens to be blue in this case, then it's blue. Interesting. I've never thought about that before. The process of like, where does a lobster's color come from? But there you go. There's an answer for that. I'm sure there's more information out there about this sort of thing. What is astaxanthin and where that comes from? That's another topic entirely we don't have time for. But feel free to check the link for this topic and all of our other topics that we've been discussing tonight in the description at the bottom of this video on YouTube or on Facebook. BrainSpaz says, wow, had no idea lobsters could live so long. Did you say 100? Yes, lobsters can live up to 100 years. And apparently so can sea turtles, if Finding Nemo is to be believed there. let's see. I'm trying to remember. Was it 100? Crash, right? The sea turtle from was it Crash or Crush? I think it was Crush was his name. Okay, look, that movie came out 20 years ago. Sue me, my memory's kind of foggy for that. But anyway, lobsters can live to 100 and can weigh up to like 40 something pounds. So there you go. That's a lot of shellfish. Hope no one's allergic. anyway, who is watching this anyway? I wonder if you can get an allergy from looking at shellfish. Oh boy. Let's get an EpiPen stat. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next item on the list. We have this next one and one more topic before we shut down for the night. This next one comes to us from the Mirror. This looks creepy already. World's largest study of decomposing bodies sees 70 corpses stuffed in suitcases. Why are we... Yeah. Why are we studying this exactly? And why are we mixing and matching with what look like recycle bins you would push out to the curb for weekly collection? Like, I don't know why we're even doing this here. What? Who's doing this? This was published 3 days ago in the Mirror. A grim study involving tens of animal remains placed inside colorful suitcases is taking place in the bushlands of Western Australia. The decomposing bodies of almost 70 stillborn piglets, oh, that's tragic, were individually put into the cases as well as in wheelie bins, and reportedly the world's largest experiment of its kind, according to its researchers. Pigs' bodies left outside and exposed to the elements have also been used for a control group. The hope is that by studying the effects of the decomposition process, it will assist crime scene investigators when reconstructing murder events and ultimately help catch killers. Huh. Okay. I mean, but how relevant can this be if we're not talking about human remains and if the killer didn't stash the evidence in briefcases? I mean, this seems like a really sort of narrow set of circumstances off the top of my head here. This looks like a very sort of narrow subset of circumstances that would have to be made relevant somehow to whatever the crime is that's being investigated. I'm thinking back to the Hitman video games where you have to sort of, you kill someone and you stash the body in like a walk-in freezer or a dumpster. You know, they're not really the most airtight, generally speaking, most of the containers that you hide the body in. But obviously that's a video game, that's not real, but I'm curious about like how relevant the findings from a study like this would be in real-world crime scene investigation. Researchers are measuring how any temperature changes in humidity both inside and outside of the cases impacts the dead animals. Microbiological and chemical changes to the bodies and bones will also be looked at. Okay. Paola Magni, senior lecturer in forensic science at Murdoch University, said that each year dozens of dead human bodies are found hidden in what is known as limited access environments. That sounds like the walk-in freezers. Examples of these include suitcases, bags, wheelie bins, car trunks, fridges, and freezers. There you go. Dr. Magni said, quote, "This happens because the perpetrators try to avoid an easy discovery by the authorities or because they need something in which they can temporarily store and move the body from place to place," end quote. Okay. So, yeah, the experiment started in early winter 2022 in the Southern Hemisphere and is due to end in the summer, with results expected to be presented in the world's largest forensic science conference in February 2023. The team will also look at any insects present, as the limited access environment affects carrion insects that would otherwise colonize the body, laying eggs in any orifices of wounds due to the attracting odor it gives off. Yeah, and that also creates another wrinkle in the investigative process as well, because obviously, you know, the body would be gradually decomposing and being consumed by any host parasites or insects that have taken root, basically, that's not the right term for it, but that have set up a nest or whatever inside the suitcase, at the very least, if not actually inside the remains, inside the corpse pieces. So, I mean, the clock is really running, you know, if you're dealing with remains from a crime scene that are stored in a way that is not truly airtight, because anything goes as far as what would happen to the remains in the meantime, especially depending on how they wind up being left in the open. So, I don't know, this is one of those bizarre things that strikes me as fodder for an episode of Law & Order. BrainSpaz says, sure, hope that study actually helps solve more murders. Yeah, I guess we'll know more once the results of this study get published in February, but for now, I guess this is basically all we have. So thanks for the comment, BrainSpaz, appreciate it. Let's go ahead and move on to the last item on the docket tonight. This is from the New York Post. Food delivery robot casually strolls through Los Angeles crime scene. This thing needs to get out of my face. There you go. Haha, it's Law & Order CPU. Ha 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 ha. A food delivery robot was captured casually rolling through a Los Angeles crime scene, perplexing officers in a video that's since gone viral. The robot, dubbed Connie, was cruising down the sidewalk on its mission to deliver grub Tuesday afternoon when it came across yellow tape surrounding Hollywood High School, which was under lockdown. Oh, God. After gunfire was reported in the area, USA Today reported. I hadn't heard about that story. The dutiful robot paused in front of the crime scene tape, apparently calculating how to get past the obstacle, when a news cameraman lifted it up, allowing Connie to cruise right through the crime scene. Wow. As Connie wheeled down the sidewalk, confused officers glanced over but didn't stop the robot from continuing down its path. Wow. Luckily, cops determined the call for gunfire they received was a hoax. As for Connie, it's unclear if she made it to her final destination, but video shows her continuing on her journey. Yeah. How was this allowed? How was this allowed? Like, this is the sort of thing that's bad press for whatever company designed that, designed that robot. Like, yeah, somebody, it's great that you have robots able to, you know, deliver food, I guess, you know, like, all hours of the day and night, basically, mainly night, I guess, which is, you know, past the point where human staffers would be able to fulfill deliveries. Ms. D says, go, Connie. But there are larger, more serious implications for this. Like, are we seriously suggesting that it's okay for food delivery robots like this, for autonomous delivery robots to just stroll through what could very easily have been an active shooter incident? You know, this raises a lot of serious red flags for me. I don't know what company manufactured that, but this strikes me as one of those instances where not all publicity is good publicity. This would concern me if I was a parent, quite frankly, especially given the context of the crime scene that we're talking about here was a school. You know, like, this is, yeah, it was a hoax, nobody was hurt, but this is indicative of some really disturbing possibilities here, especially if, like, a news cameraman can just simply lift up the police tape and there's no programming in here. You know, there are no sort of, like, restrictions in place for autonomous vehicles like that. Like, there are no fly zones around crime scenes and stuff like that. You know, you can't just put up a civilian drone, you know, over a crime scene, basically, that's still active. You know, like, there's laws and rules and regulations about that sort of thing, especially with, like, airspace rules, you know. But why is this a thing? I don't know. This feels like something to do an interview about. But anyway, I don't know. We'll have to, I guess, keep an eye peeled for more on this sort of thing, I guess, depending on what the fallout from this particular story winds up being, depending on how many parents wind up raising a stink for this. This was only 2 days ago when this was published, so, I guess it's sort of anyone's guess what happens next after this. But anyway, that's it for the news topics for tonight here. Let's see. Hang on a second. Let me go ahead and get rid of this thing here. There we go. Okay. So as I was saying, that's it for our weird news topics for tonight, for the week ending Sunday, September 18th, 2022. We have a couple things left to do here. The first thing is the favorite topic. What was your favorite topic tonight? I'm trying to think of what mine probably was. I think my favorite was the Science's Weirdest Discoveries celebrated at the Ig Nobel Awards, which I didn't even realize were a thing. Apparently, there's more than one type of Nobel Award that can be conveyed. For, like, scientific advancement and a bunch of other things. So that's something new. I'm going to go ahead and give that the favorite story for the week from me, at least. What was yours? Feel free to drop a comment down below to continue the conversation or the convo. Drop a comment down below to continue the convo is how I would normally say it. Anyway, and visit Weekend Showcase at Weekend Showcase on all major social media platforms, or Linktree/Weekend Showcase, like in the description and then the scrolling ticker down to the bottom of the screen to see it all in one place. And we have one more thing left to do, and that is the dad joke of the day. We have to do a dad joke to try to close this out with something resembling a laugh here. Not yet, control. let's see. I have to tell the joke before the wild applause hits. Anyway, let's see. Here's something. Dad joke of the day. Check it out. A panic-stricken man explained to his doctor, "You have to help me. I think I'm shrinking." The doctor calmly told him, "Now settle down. You'll just have to learn to be a little patient." Slow clap. Really? Hard to find good help these days. Anyway, all right, that was dad joke of the day, which basically brings this whole episode to a wrap. Thanks so much for watching along with us live on Instagram. Sorry, not Instagram. Goodness. YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter right here on Weekend Showcase. And we will see you right here this coming Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Pacific for another brand new trailer reaction show. Hope to see you then. For now, don't forget to hit up our Linktree page at the bottom of the screen if you have suggestions for weird news topics or movie trailers that we should react to. Please keep your suggestions to within the last 7 days and no politics or religion, please. And we'll be happy to put it in the rotation. That's it for now. I'm Don. Please be safe. And I hope you had a great weekend. Showcase you later. Good night.